The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. It is Tuesday. Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's tough now because things have changed. Different folks can come in at different times. But it is Tuesday, and we are about 3.5. As a matter of fact, I guess it's closer to 4 hours away from the Argentina-Iceland match over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Huge crowd in town. Probably more first-time people in Auburn than there have ever been on one day. I mean, you think about that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I drove through town just because I wanted to see all the people. And like we were talking, Bill, they've got their jerseys, their flags, chanting. It's really cool. And I don't know much about soccer, but this is a big deal.
Oh, it absolutely is. Well, I mean, it's the last friendly. It is the last tune-up before the World Cup is about to get started.
Yeah.
And you've got the defending World Cup champs in Argentina with the most famous player in the world, in Messi, coming here. And it appears that he is going to participate tonight.
I saw a funny thing today, and people are crazy. It said he was eating a sandwich at Bucky's at noon. They just swore it was him.
Well, may
a
have been.
Brisket sandwich.
I mean, yeah. Why not? Why not? When in Rome.
Do
you
know, Rome.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got tickled. I thought these knuckleheads.
I don't know. So that's Don in here with me today. Coach, how you doing?
Doing great. Oh, what a hot one today,
golly,
buddy.
You're not kidding. It was so hot that it's like midsummer.
Yeah.
As all of a sudden the clouds are darkening. I saw a couple of bolts of lightning. Hopefully, maybe we'll get one of those summer showers and everything will be out of here. I think everything's supposed to be done by around 6 o'clock or so, with a 7:30. Now I thought actually the match was going to start at 7:30, but listening on the way in, and Christian and Tripp had a great interview with Rhett Hobart, Auburn's deputy AD, who we played a little audio from the other day as Rhett and some of the officials there had the media on the field to see it. And let me tell you, the turf at Jordan-Hare is just lush. It is beautiful. They were just getting started painting. They didn't have the goals in. They didn't have the video board, which is going to wrap completely around the field in yet. But we got a little glimpse, and we got a preview of the Eagle flight. Jason Caldwell and I had it. I had the Eagle fly about 2-3 feet over our head on the way in. I mean, as it was coming in for a landing. But it was really cool. But anyway, Christian and Tripp had an interview with Rhett, and we're gonna let you hear that at some point here during the show, because it was a great interview. And Rhett goes into much more detail about tonight, everything took going into setting it up, and some of the other things that are involved with this evening, it's really exciting, something that is completely different. And again, I think Rhett said there were about 2,500 tickets left of the around 80,000 that they had to sell.
It's
so
amazing.
There's a very good chance that it's going to be a sellout, because there are an awful lot of folks that came into town without tickets. So it should be a great crowd, great atmosphere. Hopefully the weather doesn't interfere with that at all. Going to be heading over there after the show. But anyway, he was saying that 7:30 is when the festivities, the soccer pre-match festivities are going to get started. And we didn't know. As a matter of fact, somebody had called yesterday wondering, when will the Eagle flight be? I think it was Mitch may have asked that question yesterday and didn't really know. I had not seen any details on that. But Rhett said it'll be closer to the start, closer to 8 o'clock, when the match is actually going to start, that the Eagle flight will be. But he said that Argentina was there when they wanted to have an Eagle flight, you know, before tonight, with the video board lit, with the LEDs all lit up all the way around the field, to make sure that, you know, that that the Eagle was accustomed to it and didn't like see it freak out and
take off who knows what.
But they said, yeah, it was pretty amazing watching the Argentine team videoing the Eagle in its practice flight yesterday.
Yeah, that's quite a deal to get to see that.
Yeah,
up close.
So I mean, it's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
Tonight,
and it'll be interesting.
And again, I mean, just think when we play even the biggest home games. I mean, because that is the, you know, I've forgotten the numbers. I mean, you know, I've seen that multiple times that, you know, when Jordan-Hare Stadium is full, Auburn is like the fourth or fifth largest city in the state,
right,
whatever, that type of thing. But a lot of the people are, you know, have been here many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
You've got season ticket holders. You've got students.
Yeah.
17,000 students are getting tickets. And you know, you've got 50,000 plus season ticket holders. So the people who are most likely first timers is going to be in the, you know, maybe 20,000 range.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of the folks, you know, when you're playing conference opponents, a lot of them have been here as well. But that would be about as many as you'd get new at one time. Well, I guess maybe the first game of the season when students, if students haven't been here, it'd be a little more. But just think about tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
When Rhett was saying the other day, they had 37,000 new, completely new to the Auburn ticketing program, purchasing tickets. And that's not including anybody who bought them through the secondary market or anything like that, or people that don't have tickets that are coming in town looking for them. I mean, you've got so many international folks. I mean, look, like I said, Argentina is the defending World Cup champs, and they've got a huge following.
Yes.
And this is a great opportunity at a great price.
Yeah.
I mean, there were tickets available for under $50 to start, and I believe there's still some tickets for under $80 tonight. You look at World Cup ticket prices, and you're not going to find any in double digits. I mean, it's all going to be triple digits, and I'm talking $400-$500 for just okay seats, not great seats.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for those fans to see their team, or you know, to see their last tune-up before the real deal gets started, at what seems to be a very reasonable, it, you know, to them, it's like, man, this is almost letting us in free.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, I think it's going to be something to see tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. Have never been to anything like this.
No.
And I thought it would be fun for us to talk and get you, our listeners, to talk about the most unique sporting event that you have been to. I mean, there have been some. I've got a couple that come to mind. But, I mean, if there's something that, you know, you went to that you'd never gone to before, because that's what it's going to be for a lot of people tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, we'd love to hear your stories.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's some
strange ones.
There's some fun things in there. Now, look, you've been going to the Kentucky Derby for years and years and years and years, and
yeah,
that's something I'd love to do
yeah
once.
Yes.
I mean that's
bucket list.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. It's Bill and Don. We've got Brandon at the controls today. Our first time with Brandon running the show. I appreciate that.
Yes, for
sure. I was telling him, you know, I can run the board, and I think I got us on and got all the commercials and everything run and everything the other day. But it's a little difficult when you're trying to if you get calls or you're trying to run some audio and things like that. So we really appreciate Brandon running the show for us today. So call in; he'll answer your calls. We'd love to hear though your stories about non. Let's see, what's the best way to describe it? Just say your non. I wouldn't say normal or regular, just out of the ordinary experiences going to a sporting event that maybe not everybody has the opportunity or thinks about going to.
Yeah.
334-321-1390 as the thunder
rolls
rolling in. Yeah. Come on, go ahead and rain now. I don't mind a little rain. I could use some at the house,
mm-hmm.
but go ahead and get it out of here before a little later on. You know, trying to, you know, we'd still love to hear from you if you didn't get a chance to get through and, you know, thoughts on tough ending for the baseball,
yeah.
for baseball after, you know, winning the regional, after coming from behind, losing in their first game and having such drama and dramatics, everything going on there last weekend, and then falling in two to Ole Miss. You know, a series where they came up with a couple of big hits. They got they got a couple of really big timely home runs, two run homers, and Auburn could not really get those big hits. So their season ends at 42-22. Auburn's already added a player through the transfer portal.
Yeah, I saw that today for mm-hmm. sure.
Pitcher from South Alabama, and I believe they're expecting to add another pitcher,
mm-hmm.
A lefty here, and they're looking for some right-handed bats
mm-hmm.
Because Auburn was predominantly left-handed this year. Now the next step is, you know, who decides to come back of the players that are draft eligible, and of course you want to try to convince your underclassmen, man, that was loud.
Yeah.
Your underclassmen to stick around here and not enter the transfer portal, because with the transfer portal, players can leave at any time, you know, any year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the order of business right now, is seeing, trying to lock down your younger players and waiting decisions from players who have the option of moving on to the pros.
Bill, were you on the air, not to change the subject, did you all have the ruling on the Texas Tech player yesterday?
Oh, yes, yes.
Because I didn't listen to the second half, but
No. Yeah,
crazy.
We talked about the Brendan Sorsby thing.
Okay, I figured you would have.
And look, there is no way that that this isn't just a terrible decision by the judge there in Lubbock County.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, I can empathize a little about it's an addiction. Gambling can be an addiction, but that shouldn't allow him to regain his eligibility. I mean, it is in every single sport. And one of the things I said yesterday is, I wonder how the NFL feels about this.
Mm.
I mean, you know, the NFL. If you're caught gambling in the NFL, that's it.
I mean,
you may be able to come back at some point, but there's no way you're playing that next season after it's found. And that's what the NCAA had said and determined. And the judge says, that a temporary injunction's granted. He's going to be suspended for two games. I still have not looked. I need to look at the schedule. See who those first two games are against. I would imagine they're not the two toughest games on Texas Tech's schedule, but no, I think it's a terrible ruling, because I think that just opens the door. There was
mm-hmm.
I did read a comment from a judge. He was an unnamed judge in one of the stories, I believe it was on Yahoo, who said this opens the door. What's to prevent now players from just going ahead and gambling and that. Get you closer and closer to just not just the likelihood, but the absolute possibility of game fixing. And then what are you going to do? Just let them keep playing? I mean, as long as they say, I can't help myself.
Crazy.
All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon again. Love for you to join us. If you've attended a sporting event that maybe you feel like, you know, not everybody has, or, you know, what was it like when you went to that, it's really odd when you go to, especially when you go to a sporting event and you don't know the rules. I mean, that's one where you just sit there and you try to understand, but sometimes they don't make any sense. Whereas, you know, some of the sports we love don't make any sense to a lot of people.
Right.
And you think about them and you wonder why those rules are there, but we at least understand those.
That's
so
true.
If you've got a story like that, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive continues. Continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Now, welcome back on a... Wow, it is a stormy Tuesday. Now, that's the way, that's stormy, buddy.
Yeah.
No, it's a stormy. It is. I'm looking out the window here. I am seeing just sheets of rain. It is pouring, and you can see the wind actually is blowing from the east, which is a little different. I mean, as waves are going back across the parking lot away from us right now, it's raining. It's raining quite heavily right now. Hopefully this goes ahead and moves on. I know the surface at Jordan-Hare will be able to handle this. Like I said, man, the field was just absolutely beautiful. We stepped out on it the other day, and I thought, have they added artificial turf here to the end when we first stepped out? Because it was like so short and so thick that I thought, man, they put turf down here. Then I realized, no, this is real turf. And it is just beautiful. And they were saying the other day, I mean, look, the field is Bermuda, but they overseed it with the winter rye. And the winter rye at this time of year, it's dying. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's too hot for the winter rye. But he said they're babying it every day. And they were cutting it as we were there. And he said, I think they'd cut it. They were cutting it three or four times a day. So, I mean, to just keep it, it's like a green. It's like a green in Augusta right now is the way the turf is. So who knows? This rain might it may grow, you know, an eighth of an inch.
Yeah, as hot
between,
as it is.
Between now. You're not kidding, man, with it being 90 degrees. But, hopefully.
But it is raining.
I can barely see across the parking lot now. It's raining so hard. So, hopefully this gets out.
Yeah, it looks like it is on radar.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be by a little later. And I think, now that I feel a little bit better, I was concerned about, you know, getting off at 6 because trying to find a parking place is going to be a blast tonight as well. And thinking, get off here, drive all the way across town, get my wife trying to find a parking place and getting in. I know it's going to be very congested. And one of the things that Jeremy Roberts was talking about the other day, he was saying, well, it's obviously different because school is in session. For football games, it's Saturdays.
Right.
This is a Tuesday. Granted, we don't have but about, 20 to 30% of the normal student population on campus right now. I mean, maybe a little more than that, but it's nowhere near 50% of the normal student population. But there are classes that are scheduled. And I know most have tried to accommodate, and a lot of the offices on campus either let folks work from home today or, taking a half day, things like that. But there's some of the classes, it's really tough to just blow off a day. Especially when you're in the mini terms, when you're in these 5 week terms, it's tough to miss a day. That's like missing a week almost of classes in the fall or the spring. So that's something they had to be concerned about. And Jeremy was saying, well, they'll have to sort of treat it like a big midweek basketball game. The difference is there. You're talking 9,000 as opposed to 80,000 people that are trying to get onto campus, find parking places, and then get into the venue. So, it's going to be something. So, please, let's have the rain go ahead and move on out of here. Again, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, I don't know how many have had a chance to get to a really big soccer match like this. I have not.
No.
I mean, we looked at the possibilities back when the Olympics were in Atlanta. But remember, there was Birmingham. They were right. All over the place.
Right.
Didn't get a chance to get to anything like that. But we'd love to hear some stories from folks that have gone to something like this, because I'm really intrigued. You know, as you were saying, you know, the fans will be completely decked out. They've got chants and songs and cheers and all kinds of things that'll be going on tonight that I won't be familiar with, that I think will be really cool. But I mean, I'd love to hear stories from folks if you've been to something like, you know, along the lines of that, and what, you know, what did you find really interesting that was different?
Yeah.
Or maybe that surprised you a little bit about going there. Now, the one thing that comes to mind to me for when I was in school, got a chance to, a couple of friends of mine and I were always trying to think of ways we could try to make as much money as we could in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd have some money when you came back in the fall. And one of our friends said he could get us on, and we spent a summer working for. We started out with Beacons, and then went to North American Moving. Mm. I mean, van lines and moving companies. And this was in Philadelphia.
Oh my goodness!
So we spent a summer. Three of us spent a summer in Philly. Which was that was sort of eye opening in itself. Yeah. Man, it was hot. I didn't think it'd be that hot.
Oh yeah,
I didn't think that'd be that hot up there. Yeah. But I swear, there's no air that moves around sometimes, and it's like, right. Oh, it was just miserable. Especially
that's a tough job
in non air conditioned trucks trying to move people's furniture. But anyway, we met a couple of young ladies who were. Equestrians.
Hmm.
Now it's not that uncommon. I mean, and Auburn has
world champion
has been as good as anybody at equestrian. But yeah, the first time going to an equestrian event, I had no idea what most people were talking about, and it was like scenes from what I had seen at the Derby.
Right.
I mean, because people dressed differently, sort of like Sunday frou-frou kind of clothes and everything, and you had specialty drinks and certain things, and I had no idea the terminology or anything that they were talking about.
Right.
So that was pretty interesting. And then, you know, just holding your breath while some of the events were going on. But that's one that comes to mind for me. I'm trying to think of other things that I've gone to. Look, I'm pretty much like a meat and potatoes kind of guy. It's like, you know, the things that I know and that I like, I generally just keep doing them. And especially usually if they're gonna hit me hard in the wallet, it's like I'm less likely to fork out a whole lot of money to go to something that I don't know anything about.
Right, like a rugby match or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to one of those.
No, I haven't either. Like we talked earlier, I've been to the Derby, which is unusual and fun.
All right, so but you went as a youngster.
Yeah, as a high school or junior high kid. And you had
people that knew,
right.
I mean, could sort of, you had an idea before you got there
what was going on. And, you know, I've gone where I've been in the infield where you just, it's survival. And then I've had nice tickets and got to dress up and wear a suit 2 years. And
I can hardly picture Don Dunn.
And we were in the air conditioning. It was very nice. We were in the museum, the Derby Museum. We had a table, you know, everything was comped. Your drinks, your food, and you walk outside, and there's the track. And that was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot different from being in the infield where you're lucky to get out alive or ever see a horse. And then I've been to the Preakness one time, which was different. An older track, completely different from the Derby, smaller, but a great time. And but as far as unusual sporting events, I've been to, you know, I got to see Wayne Gretzky play hockey. out in California when I was out there recruiting one time with the Kings.
How much did you know about hockey?
I know enough, but I still don't know every little rule.
Oh, no, no.
I know about icing and
I got an idea
and
about offsides. Yeah.
But it's some of the rules, you know, but I've gotten better with hockey because I like hockey, especially this time of year with the Stanley
Cup. Well, you would.
Cup.
It's physical.
Yeah. And then fortunately, I got to go to a Final Four years ago. Saw UCLA when Lou Alcindor was still Lou Alcindor instead of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, yeah.
And I told you this. I had his autograph. I do not know what I ever did with that little piece of paper that had Lou Alcindor on it.
Oh, I bet that would be worth just a ton.
Just makes me sick that my cousin and I were.
So tell me about it. How did you get it?
We stayed. My grandmother won the tickets in a lottery back then. Just lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the first night. Back then they played Friday Saturday. If you remember years ago.
Uh-huh.
So we went to Friday night. Don May, if you remember him playing for Dayton,
right.
And Lou Alcindor and UCLA, of course, UCLA won. Then my uncle and his wife went the next night. So they dropped us off. We took a cab. So we had to wait on a cab. So we were just walking around the bottom of old Freedom Hall. And here comes Lou Alcindor out, you know.
Yeah, you wouldn't miss him.
And I got an autograph from him. Very nice, polite young man. But what I did with that, I have no idea. It just makes me sick. And that's sort of like some of my old baseball cards. I have no idea whatever happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that was a unique thing, going to a Final Four. Of course, back then it wasn't as huge, but it was still a pretty big deal.
No, you're right.
That would have been late 60s probably.
70, yeah, that's right. Would have been 68.
Yeah. that was a fun deal and unusual. And then that's about it as far as – sporting events. Never been to the dog races, which are unusual.
Oh, yeah.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I went to an old roller derby one time down in Louisville at the old Coliseum.
Roller derby. Wow.
It was women.
Crazy. Oh, yeah.
You
talk about physical.
Yeah, my grandfather used to take me to wrestling.
Oh, he used to go to wrestling. I mean, there was wrestling.
Yeah, it was so
about
corny.
15 miles from my hometown in Atmore.
Yeah, it was terrible. Then Big John Tate, the heavyweight champion, used to live in an apartment complex by us in Knoxville, and I came home one day, and this big guy's sitting out on the patio helping my wife plant flowers, and this huge guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove by and said, what in the world? So I drove by again. I didn't recognize him, and I get over and he introduced himself, Big John Tate. And that next week, he went to South Africa and fought in the World Championship and won it. And he sent my wife a telegram the night before the game. That's a cool deal. And I didn't get to see him box, but I've never been to a professional fight, a boxing match. I've been to the ones where they have on the screen when I watched Ali get knocked out lost to Joe Frazier when he came back in 71. I went to Freedom Hall and watched it on the big screen. But I've never been to a professional fight.
Boxing is pretty wild.
Yeah, that would be an interesting thing.
Yeah,
but that's about it, the Derby and the Preakness and then
That's not bad.
No, and that Final Four. But yeah, like we were talking, you've been to World Series. I have not.
And it was funny when we went, and we were talking, we need to get to break.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll continue this after break. Love to hear from you. I'd love to hear some stories. I'm sure we've got – look, we have people from over listening and love to hear some stories that, you know, folks around here, you know, might not be as familiar with, you know, attending those events. So give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll be back with more here on a wet and stormy Tuesday edition of The Drive.
This is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. I got Brandon at the controls, and we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Let's see, I was about to go into.
Yeah. What were we?
I don't know. We were talking about You were talking about the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say one of the things that comes to mind. I've only been to Talladega once.
Oh, okay.
And that was an experience.
Yes,
it was quite the experience. And we weren't in the infield. We were just along one of the turns, and it was one of the most unique experiences in just you could tell where everybody was when they're on the other side and when they start coming around. But when they come around the turn, all you saw was colored blurs.
Yeah.
But the whine, the volume, and then the feel.
The vibration.
The power. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
As they came, I mean, just so loud. Yeah. And yeah, it was a pretty wild crowd, too.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty wild crowd. Now, what made that day, I've mentioned this one before, what made that day very unique was Floyd and I went to that, and we left that and went to a Pink Floyd concert at Legion Field that night.
Holy smokes.
So I was like two of the wildest.
Yeah.
And different type shows you're going to see.
Yeah, and one day. Different
but
crowds.
You know what? They held up the concert waiting for a lot of people coming from Talladega.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a couple of unbelievable shows.
That's wild.
334-321-1390. By the way, we're under a flash flood watch.
Good Lord.
It has rained so much so quickly. So be prepared for that. The flash flood watch is in effect until 7:30. But my goodness, I hope this is out of here well
before
then.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And I believe Billy gets us started. Hey, Billy. Hello?
No, Billy.
Oh, Philly. Billy. It's the Philly Fanatic. We got.
Yeah.
It's Brandon's first day with us, so yeah.
That's okay. He's doing all right. Yeah, I went to a lot of things.
I bet you did. I mean, there were different type things to go to up there.
Yeah. Well, the Preakness, I saw the Preakness, and that was a lot of fun. Exactly like you. I was in the infield, and you hear the stumbling, and you just hear, you don't really see anything.
No horses.
Yeah.
You have to wait to the Belmont.
You can feel it, though, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The ground shakes. The now, Atlanta Olympics. I saw the soccer, basketball, horse equestrian, track, and I was going to Birmingham when two Latino, I can't remember, it was Mexico or Costa Rica, I don't know. But afterwards, we were walking outside, and there was a fight, and they set out pepper spray. And my whole family got pepper sprayed. That was really bizarre.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. Wow. But I'll tell you one thing that we were really lucky. We were at Olympic Park, and we left about an hour earlier because my kids were, I had to go to school when the bomb went off.
Oh, man.
Well, we were on, hey, that was the day we went to Atlanta.
Wow.
And we were on the way when word came about the threats, and we had to decide, are we going or not?
Yeah.
And we went ahead, and everybody was more than a little on edge.
Yes.
All we saw that day, we saw baseball and softball that day.
Yeah, I saw, obviously, in Philly, I saw a lot of hockey games. You know, the best hockey games I saw is when I was at Georgia and we'd go to the Flames game
in
Atlanta, and you could get up right up in front and see the Boston and Philly and Chicago.
Yes.
You would never be able to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun time. And then when Atlanta used to play and went Fulton County, they weren't very good. For $5, you could get up and sit right behind the backstop.
Oh, yeah. We used to go, when we were in school, we'd be able to go over there and you'd buy the cheapest seats and be able to come around and sit 10 rows behind home plate.
Yeah, when we'd all wait for Chief Nakahoma.
Yep, that's right.
Around, he'd start dancing around. That was pretty good.
That's funny.
So, and you go into wrestling. While I was here and my son was growing up, we went to the wrestling matches that were on TV. We went to Birmingham, we went to Columbus, Montgomery, and of course, when we went to Birmingham, The Undertaker came out.
Oh, wow.
And man, that was big. People were crazy. Yeah, that was really good. Saw Stone Cold, Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, always really good. I guess one of the most things I saw that not a whole lot of people saw, of course, 500,000 saw, and that was at Woodstock.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
we were up at the top,
and we got there. You know, it rained Friday night, and we couldn't get out of our car. So we got there Saturday morning, and by the time we got there, we couldn't get any closer than the top of the hill.
They were 500,000 strong by the time you got there.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard it was
really tight. And then I finally snuck under there, snuck a little bit closer when the Who played.
Uh-huh.
And when I got there, because I drank so much beer, I had to pee. It was like, no way, you know? It was like, all these people are all around us. And,
that's okay, yeah. I think. I don't think that was a problem, was it?
No, it wasn't. I found a Coke bottle, a beer bottle. It was a little sloppy, but it went off all right.
That's awesome.
But anyway, the Who went off around 2 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And by that time, we all passed out. And then about 7 or 8, Grace Slick was playing with, mm-hmm. I guess it was the Starship at the time.
No, it was still Airplane, said, I think.
Yeah, it was Airplane, that's right. And she said, good morning, people. And you've heard the crazies, now you're going to hear something or else. And that's all I remember. And it was a pretty wild thing. And anyway, I guess those are most of the things I've seen. I think some of the best ones were the wrestling ones, because my son was really into wrestling.
Oh, yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. We'd go to Columbus to watch the hockey, and it was all these guys from Fort Benning, and all they wanted to do was see fights.
Yep.
They didn't know what was going on.
Yeah,
they just wanted to take the gloves off and start and fight. All right, well,
that's great stuff, Joe. Great hearing from you.
Great stuff.
All right.
And take care of yourself.
And
see, I didn't understand. I mean, I really hadn't paid that much to, like, organized wrestling because, you know, down in South Alabama, there was the semi-pro that was going on, and you saw that. And then you'd see wrestling on TV.
Yeah.
And then I get to school, and Auburn had a pretty good wrestling program.
Auburn was
a top 10 wrestling program, and a good friend was an SEC champ at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And just the difference.
Completely different.
And amateur
and
professional wrestling. Yeah, just
jumping off the top of the chair.
Yeah. So that's great.
I'm so old.
Man, the fact that he was at Woodstock.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That is something now.
You're not kidding.
Whew, golly.
I got nothing close to that.
No, I can't top Woodstock. But I remember Dick the Bruiser. I'm so old. He used to be a big wrestler in Louisville. Dick the Bruiser.
Oh, man.
And he was just a slob. It was so funny.
We'd love to hear your stories about some unique events that you've been to, since we have one coming up here in just a few hours. We're hoping that the rain will go ahead and, you know, finish itself and move on before the around 8 o'clock start tonight with Argentina and Iceland. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. We've got some audio that we can run. Great interview with Christian and Tripp had with Auburn Deputy AD Rhett Hobart. We'll do that probably in hour number two. Love to hear from you here on the Tuesday Drive.
The Drive.
The Drive
with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. I'm prepared to do play-by-play as Tracy's making her way across the parking lot trying to get to her car. My goodness. She parks that way. She's got a brand-new vehicle, and she doesn't want to park near anybody so that doesn't want their doors to open into her. She's not moving that. If she's out there, she stepped out in the rain. We don't see her anywhere near the car yet. I hope she's okay. We'll keep an eye on her. Yeah. While we do that, let's get back to the phones. The Drive hotline. My goodness, she's just slow and steady. She's going to make it.
Going to be wet.
Make it to the car. She's well beyond going to get. Let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Tex is up next. Hey, Tex.
Hey, guys. Bill, congratulations on your new board op. That might be the politest young man I've heard since I've been calling, which is a long time.
So, he's doing a great job.
Congratulations. He's doing a great job. So I've hesitated to call. I wanted to call yesterday to go back to the Super Regional this past weekend. And there was a phone call that was made that I thought was a bit disrespectful for what the individuals on this team and the coaching staff did just because they didn't win. They showed a lot of grit throughout the year, this baseball team. Butch Thompson is a difference maker. That's back-to-back Super Regionals he's been to. So, and when's the last time we did that, Bill?
Never.
Exactly. So if your life is worrying about what somebody else is doing, then go for it. I just don't understand it. I don't care whether Alabama made it. I care whether Auburn has got a team that's on the trajectory to compete on an every year basis. And I think we have the staff and the players to be able to do that. And I've been around them a lot more than maybe that caller has been. So that being said, I was trying to think of the sporting event that I've been to that other people had never been to. And I came up with this weekend at the senior, at the Super Regionals, where record crowds were set back-to-back days. I've never seen that many people at a baseball game in my life at Auburn University.
Oh, not at all. Well, it's because, you know why, Tex? There'd never been that many at a baseball game at Auburn.
Exactly. And I've never seen a group engaged as when we were coming down at the end of the regional itself. You know, when we were there till all hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I would say night, but we weren't there during the night. Well, we were there during the night and the morning. So it was just remarkable, the fans, the way the fans stayed, the way the fans played. I use that statement meaning there was a lot of effort put into a lot of energy that was in that stadium for several different days.
And let me add something. I've heard a couple of people say, and somewhat jokingly, but I don't want people who weren't there to think it's only because the beer was cheap. Because I had a couple people went, well, that's how you keep a crowd engaged, and that's the only way you're going to be able to do that. They need to do that at football now. And it's like, that's fun to hear. But no, everybody wasn't knocking back as many as they could.
Well, let me just tell you, the people sitting in the section that I sit in, unless there were students going up there trying to fill in holes and jump in seats that they don't have tickets for, bringing beer, I didn't see very many people drinking in the section that I sit in. So that's...
It was hot, and it wasn't terribly hot, but I mean, and folks were having some, but I didn't see folks just getting smashed, and that's why they were cheering or anything.
Yes, well, I didn't see it that way. I thought people were heavily engaged, including it. What's really interesting is if you get there about an hour and a half before the game and you're walking toward your seats trying to get there and make sure you had a good parking spot, and you see that the standing room only on the concourse is already filled up.
Yeah.
And people are leaning against the wall and standing there the whole day. So you can't tell me that was because of the alcohol. That was because they wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought the fan base was great. Would I like to have seen the win? Absolutely. I'm not a big Ole Miss fan to begin with because there's a lot of them around here. But I want Auburn to win all the time. But guess what? They don't, and I'm not going to criticize them for that. I think we've got the basis for a really good run here in the Southeastern Conference, which is arguably today the most difficult league to play college baseball.
I don't think it's arguable, Tex. It is. I mean, I can't imagine anybody arguing that it's not.
Well, there's always going to be some.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right there.
So, so that's the reason I said arguably.
All right.
But I loved every minute of it. I wish we would have won. Yes, I stayed for every inning of every game. that Auburn played. I didn't stay for the non-Auburn mm-hmm. games and the regional and the super regional. So I was there the entire time and a pretty good witness to what went on. And, you know, now, like you said, keep a lot of this roster together, fill in a few holes that we have, mm-hmm. and move on to next year.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, by the way, I did think of something. I did play in 1972 in the Pee Wee Super Bowl in Orlando, in the Orlando Stadium, where
wow.
they used to play the one. Yes. And they wrote an article that included that the quarterback for the Edgewood Red Devils, which happened to be me, was stellar.
Wow, and I didn't know you'd been a QB, Tex.
Well, it didn't last. My body quit growing after that. quit growing up.
Up, yeah.
Growing out. So I'm the same height I was when I was 14, which was 2 years later. So the neat thing was my mom and them had everybody had all these articles, and they were talking about, did you read the article? It said you were stellar. And I was like, I don't know what stellar meant. I didn't know at that time. And I finally had to go get a dictionary to look it up, so it was pretty promising. So we won the Pee Wee Division National Championship.
Wow.
I can't even remember who we played.
Oh, man, that's something to be really proud of.
That's big.
No question.
Yes. Well, hey, when your career starts going downhill after you blow out a knee and as a sophomore in high school, yes, you're correct. It's stellar. I'll take stellar that time.
Absolutely.
But again, I think one of the best events I've ever been to are any of the games that were in the regional or the super regional. Our fans were fantastic, so it was worth every bit of it.
All right, Tex, we got to run.
I'll take care.
All right,
Coach.
Got
care.
Another hour
See
to go
See
here
you.
On a rainy Tuesday.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. We're having fun. I mean, it's there's not a lot of breaking
news.
Sports news right now. And, of course, we've got a huge, huge event coming up in just a couple of hours. It has been pouring rain for an hour. It's lightening up. Is that right? Lightening up a little.
A little.
But yeah, hopefully it's out of here pretty soon, because we've got the huge match between Argentina and Iceland over at Jordan-Hare Stadium around 8 o'clock. I think 7:30 is when all the festivities are going to get started, including the Eagle flight. And, you know, you're not going to have an Eagle flight if it's
right.
this kind of stuff either. So please, let's have it move on out. It's not nearly as dark now. The rain's not nearly as heavy, so hopefully things get a little better. But we've been getting folks to chime in with some unique events that they have attended, because that's exactly what it's going to be tonight. I know what I was thinking about a while ago. I was talking about the difference. I was wondering about the difference tailgating for soccer compared to football. And you were talking about I'd mentioned to you that I went to a World Series up in Cincinnati. Again, thank you, Gordon Stone. The mayor of Pike Road, who a huge Cincinnati Reds fan,
yeah,
who back in 1990, the Reds were big time underdogs to the Oakland A's, and Gordon had come up with tickets to games 1, 2, 6, and 7, and thinking that, you know, if there was a game 6 and 7, it'd be great because they'd have a chance to win the World Series. So he couldn't go to the bookends. He could go to either the first two or the last two. So he said he decided he'd take a shot and just go to the last two. And a good buddy of mine, Mark Green, and I got tickets to the first two games, and we went up there, and it was great. I mean, what I thought I'd see, I figured there'd be all kinds of folks hanging out and, like, you know, getting ready for the World Series because it was such a big deal there in Cincinnati. It's there at Riverfront.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to be just all kinds of folks outside tailgating. There was nobody.
Right.
Nobody. We walked around the outside of Riverfront Stadium, and we came around, and we saw two guys standing at a gate. It's sort of like your story about Big John Tate,
yeah,
and, you know, just running into somebody, and Lou Alcindor.
Right.
I mean, we came around the corner, and I recognized one of the guys. One of the guys was a rookie with the Atlanta Braves, Dave Justice. Justice. He was from Cincinnati.
Right.
And he was there with a friend of his who was a Reds prospect.
I'd be darn.
And they were just hanging out outside a gate waiting for somebody to let them in. We just sat there and, you know, shot the breeze with the guys. Didn't get an autograph or anything.
Right.
I mean, he was just a rookie.
Right.
You know, but I mean, waiting to go in because he was a hometown guy.
Mm-hmm.
Went in. But yeah, anyway, so we got in, went to that ball game, sold the tickets for the second game because we needed to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And then poor Gordon didn't get a chance to see his Reds in person win the world championship because
they swept the A's in four. They sure did.
Yep.
I remember it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we were talking with Philly, had a couple of great stories a little while ago. There must have been something that he forgot because he's back with us on the Drive Hotline. You can join us, 334-321-1390. And, of course, it's brought to you by Skybar. Let's get back to the phones. And what's up, Philly? What else you got?
Well, this is something that's unfortunate and certainly something we never see before. Water is flooding in my backyard, and it's coming in my house.
Oh, no.
So you and I are neighbors, so you better call your family.
Crap.
Your swimming pool is probably overflowing.
Told Don that a little while ago because all the rain we got the other day, I tried to empty some out, but it was the ground so saturated that I thought, I'm going to have to do this slowly. I was to the point where it was over the skimmer, so I'm in trouble.
Yeah, well, see, I live on a hill, and there are actually some houses above it, and the water's coming over the hill. It looks like Niagara Falls.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's just, I've never seen rain that hard, and I've been in this house for 21 years, so we're just hoping and praying that it doesn't get inside, because it's right up against
man,
the
Man, I hope
back
not.
Door.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I sure hope not.
All right. Well, if people are driving around the city, you know how these
be careful.
Are. They,
oh, man, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, because
the water will come up. It'll come up out of those drains.
Oh,
and,
yes. Yes.
There'll be parts. You know that when you come out where our road is at Wright's Mill and you make a left turn.
Oh, yeah. And you
go down that hill there.
Down at the bottom, it's going to be scary. You're right.
Yeah. People will go through there and their car might.
Don, that's. He's
yeah.
You know exactly where he's talking about. That's around the corner from your house.
Right. I know.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hope and pray that this thing stops and clears up so that the people are trying to drive around in Auburn will be able to get around.
Well, it's not raining near as hard here, but there's an awful lot of water. You're right.
I saw about a mile away that there were guys parked wanting $60 to park their car. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I have an A sticker. I just go, if I was going to go to the game, I just park right, just move right
in
there.
Park in your parking lot. That's right.
Park.
Yep.
But a lot of these people, when they're coming in from downtown and they come off 85, that way, right away they see that $60 and they think, oh, I better go in there and park. Well, that, I'm sure they can get closer and get less than that, but it's unbelievable.
I sure better be
able to. That's all I got to say. And hopefully we can watch a game and we don't know if Messier is going to be able to play. You know what? Was it 3 days ago they played at
A&M.
College Station?
Yeah, he didn't play.
But the word
we got was he was expected to tonight. Now, I don't know. I mean, the rain definitely could have an impact on that, though.
Yeah. They don't want him to get hurt.
No. I mean, you don't want to pull something on a slick field.
How many millions is he worth? You know, we talked about the horse and, you know, that won in the Kentucky Derby. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to race him into the next because he's already worth mega millions of stud fees.
So and now more.
Yep, that's right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
All right, Joe, good luck, man. Hope the water doesn't get in the house.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Right, take care. 334-321-1390. Is Rob up next? Got to hit it again and get it red, I think.
Oh, it's good now.
Oh, okay. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Let me tell you, for a soccer game, the traffic's already snarled enough. I'm on 85 coming up from Montgomery, and I'm telling you, it's a mess already.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, for a soccer game. Anyway, so anyway, big deal, though, and glad Auburn got it. But, I don't know if I can, get past Woodstock or even the Pee Wee Championship in Orlando.
Yeah, we're not playing. Can you top this? I mean, you don't have to. It's not.
I got one favorite memory, and it was 2 weeks in a row, and it was on Auburn University fall football kick six and Miracle Jordan Hare. Let me tell you, I was on the field up under the north end zone, up under the goalpost both times, and let me tell you, amazing. That's all I can tell you.
If you're in the north end zone, you had Chris Davis running right at you. That's really cool.
Yeah, I won't say what I was doing up for the goalpost, but I was there and I was looking up at the crowd and I had my back to the back to the game the whole time. And let me tell you, it was loud both times. And turn around to find out Chris Davis running towards you. That's pretty amazing. He was at my feet pretty much when he went. I got tackled in the end zone. So anyway.
Wow.
But, pretty amazing. But I can tell you, I've also been to not to a World Series game at the Braves. I can't even remember the name of the stadium now. But anyway.
Fulton County?
They were playing the Mets in the NLCS, and we lost the game. But what an experience, and never forget it. Yeah, but I've been to. I think I might have been at the Pink Floyd concert you were talking about.
It was cold. It got really cold that night. What was crazy is it was hot at Talladega, and we got sunburned and about froze to death. We felt like that night in Legion Field.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it because
there are a lot of us that are in the same boat with you. I hear you. I know.
But anyway. Y'all have a good one. Have a good night.
All right, Rob. Appreciate the call. talking about the miracle at Jordan Hare and the kick six, the miracle of Jordan Hare. I've mentioned this story before. Younger son was a Tiger host, and he's standing in the south end zone.
Wow!
And you see him in the video as Ricardo Lewis goes running, and he runs right up to. To Matt and one of his fellow Tiger hosts.
That's cool.
Right there. So I mean, that was wild. And I told you, I was mentioning it to you guys when I've said this one before. I was, when I'm working in Montgomery doing Sportsline with Jim, we gave away, we had tickets to game five of the NLCS and we're sitting in left field. I'm there. I sort of went as I was the station rep. Sitting there in left field behind Barry Bonds when Francisco Cabrera had the base hit and Sid Bream scored from second base.
Wow.
That I said, look, the kick six and that game, those plays are the two most ear-piercing, screeching screams that I've ever heard at a sporting event.
Wow.
I mean, you know, the kick six, it built and built because people are like, oh, it's can he do that?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a chance. He's going to, and it just kept getting like the tone, it kept getting higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
And, it's like, and that's the way it was when Sid Bream scored. I thought I'd never hear anything that rivaled that when Bream rounded third and beat the throw from Barry Bonds to home plate. The place just went louder and louder and just exploded. And that's sort of the way it was there with the kick six. 334-321-1390. Who was it we had next?
Greg.
Hey, Greg. Greg, go ahead.
How y'all doing today, boys?
Pretty good.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm kind of interested to see what this soccer looks like.
Yeah, I think I think there are thousands of us that are.
Yeah. I'm gonna definitely tune in and kind of watch it, whatnot. But a good opportunity for the program and
great showcase for Auburn and Jordan Hare. You're right.
Yeah. And then it's tough watching the Tigers lose. I hate it. It seemed like we just couldn't get the bats hot. I don't know. It's just I know we was kind of doing what you coach to do, but we just couldn't ever break out of a funk. And
just couldn't get that big hit. I mean,
Play a big, you know, player swing, and their players came through a little bit, you know, more clutch than we did. And I hate that, but you know, hats off to them. And I'll definitely be pulling for Troy the rest of the way. Hopefully, they can.
Yeah, I think there's no question. I mean, they're the Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, I was calling in. You know, I was going to talk about a little bit of recruiting here. This staff is on a heater.
Yeah, this is a good start. No question. I mean, I love the emphasis there. We talked about it a little yesterday. I mean, Alex Golish mentioned it when he first got here. They're going to run the ball. They are going to run the ball. And he's loading up on offensive linemen.
Yep.
Got a couple of big backs coming in. The next couple of guys that they want to add are defensive linemen. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think they're really, really doing a good job here early on.
Well, I can tell you, speaking of the next few they're going to add, I'm going to drop y'all, maybe it's a little insider, a little note for y'all.
Cool.
I go, I'm at Maxwell, I do the reserves,
mm-hmm.
and I got a buddy of mine that I work with, and he coaches on Prattville's football staff.
Right.
They just had the kid, the Hall, I think is his name, the receiver.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think, you know, supposedly Auburn didn't really think. I talked to him before about him, and he, you know, it was kind of Penn State, Tennessee, stuff like that. But I guess over that official visit he was on, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, some things changed. So y'all keep a lookout on that. I think he has a brother as well, from what I'm hearing. And I think if some things go one way or the other here, you might be picking up that young man's commitment. I think he was like 185 or something last year. He's like a little over 200 pounds, 6'3", 6'4". I mean,
those are the kind of receivers Alex Golish really, really likes. Mm-hmm. There's no question. And, everything I heard about that first weekend was very, very positive. It sounded like a lot of kids were just blown away.
It definitely making a good impact on things. And I tell you what, it don't hurt to have Tim Cook being your buddy, too. I think Tim Cook likes what Alex Golish is doing, and
that would be nice.
He ain't coached it down for us yet, but it seems like he embodies, you know, some of our creed.
Mm-hmm.
And he works his dang tail off, and I, you know, everybody that pulls for these Auburn Tigers, we do, and I sure hope they have some success, and it sounds like it's going in the right way. But anyway, I just want to chime in on that, guys. Man, I listen to the show every day. I enjoy it, guys. I hope y'all have a good day, and I'll be talking to you soon.
All right, good hearing from you, Greg. All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. If we get a chance, we're going to run the interview that the on-the-line guys had with Auburn Deputy AD Rhett Hobart. So stick with us. We'd love to hear from you, though. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Tuesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Brandon at the controls. And let's get back to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Coach Dunn. How y'all doing?
Doing fine, man. It looks like the rain is finally starting to slack up. You didn't float away?
No, not yet. But I was coming close. I was outside on the Trinity porch and the lightning started. I got it and went in.
I don't blame you.
Bill, were you at Legion Field in 85?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, because I wasn't there, but I was watching on TV, and that's my senior year in high school, actually. And I tell people all the time, the kick six was Auburn's version of Van Tiffin's kick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely was. As a matter of fact, I was down on the sideline with the fellow that I mentioned a while ago that went to me to Cincinnati for the World Series. Mark Green, who was a great guy, a very talented writer and broadcaster, who unfortunately passed way, way, way too early. But anyway, we had taken the elevator and had gone down to the field. I mean, what a great fourth quarter that was. Pat Washington led Auburn on a couple of great drives. Mike Shula led Alabama on drives. Auburn could not, could not bring down Greg Richardson inbounds. But we're down. We've gone and we're on the field, and I bet we weren't, we weren't 5 yards from where Pat Washington was. And Pat was one of those guys. You know, a lot of the players you don't want to look. As Tiffin trotted out to try that 52-yard field goal. And, I mean, when he hit it, the sound, when his foot hit the ball, you knew it was good. And, I mean, it was a dagger to the entire team. And I felt really, really sorry for Pat because, you know, nobody was going to remember what he did because the way it ended with Tiffin's 52-yard field goal.
I remember the call, Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles, and Frank Broyles called the finest fourth quarter of football he's ever seen.
Well, it was a tremendous, quarter of football.
And what a lot of people don't realize, and I Craig, if I'm wrong here, Bill, but wasn't Kevin Porter offsides on the field goal? They would have got another shot at it.
I think you're right. But they didn't need it, man. That 52-yarder would have been good for 60.
No, good luck getting the crowd off the field.
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys take care.
Appreciate it, Terry. 334-321-1390. That is the drive hotline. I mean, yes, just I am so thankful. It looks like the rain is really slacking up. They're still going to be as Philly said a little while ago. Be careful if you are driving around because they're going to be some spots where there's more water than you may think
on
the road.
For sure.
Yeah, so be careful when you're out and about. But as Rob said a while ago, sounds like traffic is really backed up out, you know, on the interstate coming in. We're on the other side. I got to go out, cross the interstate, and then come back in. So, yeah, we will we'll see. I expect it to be a pretty lively crowd this evening. And maybe this will just cool things off a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah, hopefully so. Tell you what we'll do. We're going to go ahead. I want to run the interview that Christian and Tripp had with Rhett Hobart. So we're going to go ahead and get to our next break early because this is a pretty lengthy interview. So we'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break a little early. We'll run that, and then we'll come back, and we'll have the regular time left here as we continue with the Tuesday Drive. Yeah, that'll be all right.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. It's not Bill and Dan, it's Bill and Don today. Coach Don Dunn is here. With me, and we've been having fun getting ready for the event tonight. Argentina, Iceland. We had some serious rain there for a while, a substantial amount in about an hour. But it appears that it is moving on through, and hopefully everything will be fine in time for tonight's festivities, and then the match between Argentina and Iceland. wanted to give you a chance, if you didn't hear it earlier on the line, Christian and Tripp had an opportunity to speak, to spend a good bit of time with Auburn Deputy AD Rhett Hobart. We let you hear some comments from him on Friday after we had a little media opportunity over at Jordan-Hare Stadium, but an opportunity to go much more in depth today with Christian and Tripp. So thought we'd let you hear that interview from a little earlier today.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Tripp Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And we're talking to a guy now who we are very, very appreciative of taking the time to join us here this morning. Somebody that has been very, very instrumental in the success of Auburn athletics, both inside and outside the lines. My goodness, if you've been to a sold-out Neville Arena, a packed Plainsman Park, or tonight, the Road to 26, chances are his team has had a major hand in making all of this happen. Mr. Rhett Hobart, the Auburn Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs and the Chief Revenue Officer, we appreciate you for taking the time to join us and really excited that you're here with us on the phone lines. Well, we wanted to go ahead and dive into the baseball side of things, because when you're looking at just Auburn athletics as a whole right now, it feels like there's a lot of momentum that continues to be built in all of the sports, but baseball being that picture as of late. Talk a little bit generically, if you would, before we dive into the regional and the super regional, everything that you were able to do for the Auburn fans and just how you are seeing all of this momentum continue to grow and the excitement build throughout all of Auburn athletics.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been, you know, we just had our men's golf team win their second national championship in three seasons. And obviously, our women's tennis team, incredible year this year, playing for the national championship, coming down to the wire in that match in Athens just a few weeks ago. And then incredible opportunity and momentum with Coach Gola she has right now in building our football program and the growth we're seeing there. Going to be an incredible year ahead. Obviously, Stephen Pearl's team coming back and building to an incredible year this coming year as well. So momentum across the department, absolutely. And obviously the last couple of weeks has been an incredible experience at Plainsman Park with Coach Thompson, the program he's built with Auburn baseball, back-to-back number four national seeds, hosting super regionals in back-to-back years. And the incredible nucleus he has in the program that's coming back next year too. If you look at how sophomore-laden this class was this year and the talent on that field, you return really every single starter in terms on the mound, and then generally speaking, almost all of your starting lineup as well. So really incredible opportunity he's building and what he accomplished with that class being freshmen and sophomores the last 2 years to what we hope next year with the class being juniors.
What is it like for you and your group of people watching Plainsman Park evolve into one of the premier environments in college baseball, and knowing that your group has the creativity to continue to build? We've seen all of the general admission, all of the back 40, everything that goes into making Plainsman Park even better than it already is, and continuing to do that, continuing to make it, man, a national stage, and you feel like you've continued to build that success. I mean, three straight record-setting crowds over the last three games inside of Plainsman Park. Ultimately, the end result didn't go the way that we were hoping, but the excitement on that side of things, what is it like when you hear Plainsman Park is going to be a host for a regional and a possible super regional?
Man, it's incredible. And, you know, it just shows you somewhat the program Butch's built. We've hosted for the last 5 years of regionals, last 2 years in super regionals, obviously a College World Series appearance in 22. So just incredible stability in the program right now as well. But it's become a home field advantage, a true home field advantage for our team. Playing inside Plainsman Park and the incredible atmosphere the Auburn family has created. Like you mentioned, we had three straight days there in terms of games of Monday with 8,228 fans, an all-time record for Plainsman Park in game seven of the regional, defeating Milwaukee, and then going into the super regional, not just beating it, but beating it by over 2,000 fans with over 10,000 present for two straight nights, two back-to-back record crowds at Plainsman Park, and really an incredible experience. Obviously, not the end result we all hoped for, but really an incredible experience in Plainsman Park with our our young team facing a senior-laden Ole Miss team that came in hot as well. And so, again, incredible experience. Our team in Auburn Athletics has been incredible in trying to find ways to continue to grow and improve our fan experience in all of our venues. But specifically, if you look at Plainsman Park over the last few weeks, In the end, we end up adding about 3,000 spots for general admission growth in the ballpark from outside in the back 40 deck in the outfield. We had over 2,000 out there. And then if you look in the park, we grew that significantly as well to be able to take our capacity from about 6,000 to 7,000 in the regular season to over 10,000 here for Super Regionals.
We're talking with Mr. Rhett Hobart of the Auburn Athletic Department and the man behind Plainsman After Dark. I want to talk to you about that Sunday night. You're into weather delay and you have to play Milwaukee game two, the first game of the regional final. Tell me about that experience, how, what you learned and kind of the story behind that atmosphere, because it was one of the most electric in college baseball that I've ever seen.
It was. I agree with that. You know, that day was interesting. Obviously, look, when you host a regional and a super regional, you know, the NCAA brings in site reps and they really control the, you know, game start times, game operation, those kind of things. You can manage the venue, but they control when a game is stopped, when a game is started. And if you look at Sunday, it wasn't the most pleasant in terms of stoppages and resumptions of play. You know, we had an instance where we started a game and we had to stop it within an inning. And so, as we looked at this throughout the day, especially earlier in the day, in the first game on Sunday, I was really concerned in terms of how do we make sure that, you know, if this delay ends up being 2+ hours, which you thought it might, how do we make sure we say thank you to our fans who are sticking out with us mm-hmm. and staying in the ballpark? And so, you know, we did a promotion earlier this year for a game where we really, really dropped beer pricing and hot dog pricing and sold a crazy number of both of those items. And so during the first weather delay on Sunday, we said, you know what, let's drop the pricing of hot dogs and beer. And I'll tell you, that's not a simple feat
sure.
To do. We have to basically underwrite the cost of those things with our concessions partner to make it work. But it was worth it for us to make sure that the fan experience is positive in the venue. And so during that first weather delay on Sunday, we said, you know what, let's drop it to the midweek pricing we use for every midweek game, which is basically half price beer and hot dogs. Ends up being roughly $5 for beer and $2.50 for hot dogs. And so we go that delay, we start selling a lot, people are staying in the ballpark, and then we have another lightning strike, which means at least 30 more minutes of delay, and we saw a massive front coming in from the Montgomery area. And so we said, well, we might be here a while. What if we drop it again? So if you were in the ballpark, we had some fun with the announcement, and we said, you know, we have some bad news to share, some good news to share. We said, the good news is we just cut the price of beer and hot dogs again to $2.50 beer and $1.25 hot dogs, and the stadium cheered, went crazy. And then we said, but we're a weather delay, and everybody booed. So it was kind of fun. And then we just kept that going all night. So we win the first game with the momentum that first game of Sunday and have the stadium full. And then it was incredible to me starting a game at like 11:10 p.m. There was more fans in the venue for the start of game two of that day at 11 o'clock than there was when we finished the first game of the day.
Wow.
And so we sold, I think, almost 5,000 beers. We sold over 4,000 hot dogs. And it was an incredible atmosphere in the venue. And so we did make sure those promotions continued for the Super Regional. And we had those promos running all both games, Friday and Saturday night in Plainsman Park.
Plainsman Park After Dark. I think that it's officially coined, and I would be very surprised if that's not something that works its way into the very near future with Auburn baseball. Were you the mastermind behind the coffee as well? Because I know that was a major hit. I had two cups myself, and you mentioned the electricity just inside of Plainsman Park. I mean, you got to take a little bit of credit for the caffeine that was juicing up Plainsman Park.
We got a good team here. Called our concessionaire and I said, how quickly can you get hot coffee going here? And they said, well, we'll go get it going. So we had a good team effort that had the idea and knew we need some caffeine for 11 o'clock first pitch.
That's awesome.
Rhett Hobart here with us, the Auburn Deputy Athletic Director, man, the one that you know of that has his hands in just about everything in terms of fan engagement, making sure that the Auburn family can be as big of a part as they possibly can for all athletic events. And how cool is it now that you are able to kind of shift your gears into, yes, making sure that Jordan-Hare Stadium is a quote-unquote hostile environment in terms of just fans and bringing so much energy and engagement to a historic match match that is coming to Auburn, Alabama, Jordan-Hare Stadium, a national stage. Tonight, Argentina and Iceland. Your thoughts when this first came out and how Auburn was able to make it happen, how Auburn was able to almost get that bid of being a historic site for such an important match.
Yeah, we started working on this over a year ago. And so I think when you're looking at how you find ways to bring incredibly unique experiences to our venues to benefit the Auburn family, our season ticket holders, but also the Auburn Opelika and broader Alabama and Southeast community with unique events. Look, we're also at a time, it's no secret, we're at a time right now when revenue growth matters. Like, it, to support your teams and build the best rosters right now, you have to drive revenue. And we want to find ways to do that without always having to drive the price of Auburn athletic events. So the idea being, how do you bring events in that can support and bring in additional revenues for you to support the department, to support the benefit of your teams and building your rosters, that then does not require you as much to go and increase the cost of Auburn, you know, sporting event tickets. And so when you see an event coming to the U.S. like the World Cup, and knowing that's coming and knowing Atlanta is going to be a host site, over a year ago we started working on this and we told basically the promoters that work with these teams, hey, we want a chance to host one of these groups in Jordan-Hare Stadium. We worked on that bid process for months. And then in December, following the draw, seeing where everyone got placed, we were approached by the promoter that said, would you like to have Argentina? And we jumped on that the minute we got called about that opportunity. Probably the biggest single, you know, soccer brand in the world, with the biggest single soccer player brand-wise in the world, with Lionel Messi. So it was pretty surreal last night standing on Pat Dye Field in Jordan-Hare Stadium and watching Messi get off the bus and walk onto the playing surface. Pretty incredible for their training last night. So it has been incredible. The response from the Auburn family, from the Southeast, from the world and buying tickets has been incredible. We are very, very near a sellout right now. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere tonight inside Jordan-Hare Stadium.
We're talking with Mr. Rhett Hobart of Auburn Athletics, and you mentioned the soccer match. You mentioned there is some availability remaining. How does the listener that's listening to this that wants to catch this once-in-a-lifetime spectacular in Jordan-Hare Stadium, how are they able to find tickets? And tell me a little bit more info about that.
Yeah, so we have about 2,500 tickets remaining right now out of the 88,000 we can sell inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's going to be a pretty full house tonight. But again, there is about 2,500 tickets left right now. There actually is some lower level tickets left in the in both end zones. Those tickets are only $78 a piece. So if you're looking at World Cup ticket prices across the U.S., a $78 ticket is incredibly cost effective compared to what you might see with $500, $800, $1,000 tickets across the country for the World Cup. So AUBTIX.com. You can go to AUBTIX.com. You can buy tickets for as low as $78. And if you want to splurge and have an incredible experience as well, there are even field-level seats still available. I think we have 8 field-level seats total available. Those are, I think, roughly $600 a piece. So be blowing it out to do that at field level, but you'd be face-to-face with Messi here on the where I'm standing right now on the playing surface. But you can get in the door tonight for $78 at AUBTIX.com.
And for those that make their way to Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturdays in the fall, we know that the playing surface a little bit different, had to make a couple of changes. What are fans going to expect? Some of the differences in looking at a football field versus a pitch in terms of a soccer friendly here tonight.
Even as I'm standing on it, it's kind of crazy to see a soccer field painted here on Pat Dye Field. Pretty kind of a surreal thing to see. There are a few changes we had to make. We had to widen the field slightly in a couple of areas. So a soccer pitch is, in this regard, is wider than our football field. It's 72 yards wide. Soccer pitches can be different widths. But when we got this match, one thing we committed to Argentina was that we are their last match before they go try to defend their reigning World Cup title. And so they wanted to have the dimensions of the field be exactly what they're going to face in their first World Cup match. So for this friendly, we did make sure that we could adjust our field to have the exact proportions they're going to experience in their first game in the actual World Cup this weekend. And so we had to make some minor adjustments to that. One area we had to widen was the visiting sideline for football. We had to remove some of the hedges inside the fence, not the large hedges, but the interior hedges to make the field wider. We actually were going to have to do that anyway for football this fall, being that our north end zone construction project has begun, which now precludes the ability to get large visiting equipment trucks into that north parking lot until the project is concluded. So as you're thinking about these visiting football teams who bring in legitimately 18-wheelers full of equipment that have to now get that across the entire field from the south to the north, from where the equipment truck will park for the next two seasons, and then roll them to their locker room in the north end zone, we were going to have to put a sidewalk in along the sideline for the next 2 years to get that equipment down there already. The timing actually worked out well for us on this. And then once the north end zone project is completed, we will add those hedges back along the visiting sideline.
And then in terms of the Auburn excitement, we know there was a whole lot of rave when we found out the confirmation of the Eagle flights before the game. Is that something that the players are going to be on the field? Are they going to see it, or have they been able to take that in during any practice? Because, I mean, we talk about a once-in-a-lifetime friendly inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium for them. I mean, an Eagle flight is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as well.
Kind of funny quick story here. So last night I'm standing on the field about 5:45, and Argentina was arriving for their training, and their coaching staff was arriving and starting to set up the playing surface with all the equipment they're going to have for their 6 p.m. training last night. And the Southeast Raptor Center walks out for their practice run because they wanted to fly the Eagle with the LED screens in at field level because they're quite bright and quite distracting to make sure the Eagle was going to be able to successfully fly in here. And not do it the first time tonight. They did a practice flight last night with all the LEDs at full brightness at field level. And I noticed that the Argentina coaching staff was standing in the tunnel just in awe with their phones out videoing the Eagle fly around the stadium and land at midfield. So they did see that last night when they were in there preparing for training, and it will happen tonight. So tonight, if you're looking at it, roughly 7:30 p.m. is when all the festivities will start. Thinking about all the traditional soccer pageantry you see in the World Cup and across the world. And the Eagle flight will be much closer to the start of the match, which will be closer to 8 p.m. tonight.
That's awesome. Awesome to see that they're going to be able to be a part of it and have been a part of it. Mirette, we appreciate your time, again, for making this happen on very, very quick notice here today. And final question for you before we let you get out of here. Just when you're looking at what this soccer match is, and we know it as, and try to compare it to a Saturday in the fall when there's 100,000 people and millions watching on TV, how awesome is it to think, you mentioned the brand of Argentina, you mentioned the brand of just Messi in himself, of being present, whether or not he plays in real time or not, but just the brand that he has and the fact that it's Auburn, Alabama, it's Jordan-Hare Stadium, that is a national brand for millions and millions in this country and across the entire world that are going to be tuned in tonight. What does that mean for Auburn University, and what does that mean for the Auburn family?
You can't put yourself on a bigger global stage than a moment like this. If you think about this, this match tonight will be broadcast globally. Legitimately globally on ESPN and ESPN Deportes across the world. If you think about those who are going to be present for the match, we have sold tickets across 47 U.S. states and 12 countries. We know for a fact, based on our ticket data, that we have over 30,000 buyers who have never previously bought a ticket for an Auburn athletic event.
Wow.
So think about the people who are going to be here experiencing Jordan-Hare and maybe even the community of Auburn for the first time. What an incredible opportunity to showcase how special a place this is, how special of an experience Jordan-Hare Stadium is, and to showcase it on the world stage on ESPN, ESPN Deportes. You know, I think one thing that's going to be even just unique is, as a part of our negotiation, we made sure that we actually were able to secure some of the field level LED signage sponsorship activations for the university. So every time you see on a soccer match, the field level wraps around the field lighting up with sponsors, you're actually going to see Auburn University promote on that throughout the game as well to a worldwide stage.
Wow.
Just to promote how unique of a place Auburn is, and then also be promoting Auburn over like as a community as well. So what an incredible chance to experience this. We are told as of last night, the expectations that Messi is going to play at least some minutes. He did not play in the College Station event on Saturday. And with this being the last chance to train the team before the World Cup begins, they expect him to get some minutes tonight. Just don't know how many just yet.
Man, what an opportunity. No place like Jordan-Hare Stadium, no place like Auburn, Alabama. Auburn, Deputy Athletic Director for External Affairs and the Chief Revenue Officer, Mr. Rhett Hobart, here with us on the phone lines on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Again, my friend, we greatly appreciate your time for making this happen for us. I know that the Auburn family has been so, so appreciative of everything that you and your team has been able to do over the past couple of weeks with Plainsman Park and now with the match going on tonight and everything that's up and coming in the future. Greatly appreciate your time. We look forward to a fantastic evening, and we look forward to talking to you again real soon.
War Eagle, thanks for the opportunity.
That was Rhett Hobart joining us on the phone lines earlier this morning. Again, a very, very...
And our thanks to Online letting us run that very, very good interview there with Rhett Hobart about tonight. And, yeah, hopefully the weather cooperates. I see there's still a chance of rain here for a little while, but it is really slacked up from what it was a while ago. We'll get to our final break of the drive. Back with a little news from the Southeastern Conference when we come back to wrap things up here on the Tuesday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Final segment of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Don, thanks a lot for being in,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Jason Caldwell is going to be moving to Tuesdays, but after this past weekend and covering recruiting as well, things like that, he's getting a little bit of a break.
Good for him.
So we'll get Jason back with us. Should have Adam Cole on tomorrow. Let's see, just updating you. The flash flood warning that's been in effect has been extended till 7:45. And there's still a chance of some more rain. So do be aware of that and be very careful when you're driving. Don't just assume that it's just a little puddle when you see some see some water on the road. I mentioned there's some news from the SEC. Today, the SEC Southeastern Conference presidents and chancellors had a video conference with Senators Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell concerning their Protect College Sports Act that they are trying to get support for. And here is the statement that was issued by Tennessee Chancellor Donde Plowman, who is the chair of the presidents and chancellors of the SEC. Quote, "The presidents and chancellors of the Southeastern Conference sincerely appreciate the opportunity to meet today with Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Maria Cantwell regarding the Protect College Sports Act. This was a productive dialogue that enabled us to directly address the common views shared by our member universities, while also recognizing the positive elements of the bill working to establish greater stability in college sports. We are particularly encouraged that today's conversation affirmed a shared understanding of what will be required to secure a sustainable future for college sports, delivering the stability and certainty that our student-athletes deserve and our fans want. We share a common goal of supporting student-athletes, universities, athletic programs, and the millions of fans who make college athletics such an important part of communities across the country. As conversations continue, we look forward to working together to ensure federal legislation includes a consistent national framework, appropriate rulemaking authority, safeguards against unnecessary litigation, and effective alignment with the House settlement's revenue-sharing model. We are confident that, through continued collaboration, these priorities can be addressed in a way that supports the long-term success of college athletics and protects the opportunities and experiences that make college sports so meaningful. We pledge to work in the spirit of cooperation with Senators Cruz and Cantwell, their staffs, SEC leadership, and members of Congress to refine this important legislation in the interest of securing the future of college sports for the benefit of all student athletes." That is a statement from Tennessee Chancellor Donde Plowman, and really doesn't say it. It doesn't say, we don't agree. We agree. We disagree. I mean, the SEC, remember, had said they were not supporting this legislation. This doesn't say that. I think all this says is, okay, now let's come up with wording that we do agree with. They didn't completely say, all right, we're against it. They just said, yes, we both are all for the future of college athletics. I mean, really just
nothing.
A statement saying Thanks for your interest.
Yeah.
And we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Sort of what that said.
Yeah. It's still a mess.
Look, it is. There's got to be something done. Again, I don't know that legislation's going to solve this.
Right.
But at least they're trying. Don, again, thanks.
No,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Coming in. I will get with you if another thing pops up between now and Friday. But if not,
I'll see you Friday.
We'll see you Friday
for sure. Thank you.
Yep. Looking forward to it again.
I see
still,
a little sun.
Still got a little light rain, but it is really lightened up outside. Yes, it was really really dark there for a while, man. I know the field is going to be able to handle this. I mean, there may be a couple of soggy spots, but. Looking forward to it. And, yes, tomorrow we'll talk about the experience tonight
fun.
Over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So if you're headed there, folks, be careful and look out because we're coming too. So yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow about this. Love to hear from, some of the folks that attend tonight as well. Hey, Brandon, thanks. Great job today running the show. I think Drew will be back tomorrow. I'll be here. Adam Cole from the Montgomery Advertiser should, and hopefully you will as well. But that's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.